Hello, friends, and welcome to this special Saturday edition of the Don't Be Stuck podcast. I don't usually work on weekends, but this one is for you because it's a special interview and I wanted to give it a little bit more time and feature it. This interview is with my friend and collaborator, Lane Booth. She is an amazing woman who has left corporate and gone into full-time business, and her story is sure to inspire you. It's my goal with these interviews to just bring in people to show you what's possible. That's what this podcast really is all about, is showing you what is possible for you as a woman in corporate who has these skills and things to offer the world, but wants to put them to better use and be more purposeful in the work that you do. So without further ado, here's my interview with Lane Booth. Hey, Lane, thank you so much for being on the podcast. Welcome to Don't Be Stuck. I'm so glad you're here.
Yes, thank you, Lila. It's such a delight to be on the other side of having a conversation with you today.
Yeah, so I got to be on Lane's podcast. Was it last year, 2 years ago? I can't remember now.
It's last year, yep.
Yeah, so Lane does online summits. So Lane, why don't you kind of tell us about that and what you're doing now, and then we'll kind of back it up into your story and how you got there.
Yes. Thank you so much. So right now we are running our online-based business. I have a small team that supports me. And one of the most fun ways that we do our marketing is through online summits and online events. What that means is that I get to connect with and invite several speakers, much like Lila, and other online entrepreneurs. And we come up with like, what's a great theme? What's a theme that entrepreneurs are struggling with right now, and how can we help them? So right now our theme is all about how can you simplify in your business so that you can scale it up? And so we are pulling together great speakers, and then we run, 5-day events where we're showcasing these speakers, and 7 to 8 speakers per day are being featured. And it's just a great time to not only meet new people with the speakers, but then we invite all these great folks from our audience, from our tribes, to join us as well. And so it's just a beautiful melting pot of all walks of entrepreneurship showing up and connecting and getting visible and growing our businesses all at the same time.
That's super fun. So you as a business, is that your full business model, or do you have other services and things that you kind of direct people to as well?
So this is, we use the online summits for our visibility strategy. And so then towards the end of the summit, we're sharing a little bit more about how we specifically help entrepreneurs as well. So on our side of things, I'm like a number nerd. And so we found that a lot of small businesses and online businesses really didn't know what their numbers looked like. They didn't have that dialed in, and they were guessing with their gut instead of making data-driven decisions. Yeah. So we actually have one-on-one services and group programs on how to just lead your business with confidence. So we help people put together dashboards or scorecards you might be more familiar with, but how can we look at, 10 of the right metrics for your business and make great business choices from that? So it's kind of a services and coaching blend on the back end there. That's how we support our clients.
That's awesome. Yeah. I think one of the main things I see, and one of the first things I always try to get a handle on when I'm talking to a potential client, is their numbers goals. Like, okay, mm-hmm. What do you want to make, and how are you going to do that? And most people are just like, I want to make $10,000 a month. And you're like, do you even know what that means? So it's such an important role that you play in equipping people to kind of step into that with eyes wide open. Like, there's no mystery. It's not this like complicated thing. It's very simple. So I love that.
Yeah. And you know what? It's very non-judgmental. It's like, man, if the number is 20, do we want 20 to be higher, or do we want 20 to be lower? It's just, it is what it is. And let's figure out ways to make it move the direction that we want to make it move.
Yeah. That's genius. I love it. So how did you get there? Let's back it up a little bit. What's your prior experience? And how did you, obviously with business, I think it's very common to change and blend and kind of move into different areas as you learn more and meet more people and see the needs there. But how did you start, and what was kind of the process you went through to get to where you are today?
Yeah, this is such a great, great step into the past. I mean, I went to college with full expectations of climbing the corporate ladder, retiring CEO of a major corporation and all this good stuff. And then pretty quickly into it. So I did spend about 12 years in corporate. And I started getting the bug for way more freedom than I was allowed at that point in time. And so I had just had my daughter, my first daughter, and just the flexibility. I was growing in my role. I worked for a major corporation. I actually started out in manufacturing, so I was very familiar with like the hustle and grit that's required to, you know, run the machines and make sure things aren't breaking. And then moved into a little bit more of a supply chain role with a major apparel company. And so we were in the data of things. Like I was kind of the lead project manager, lead forecaster. So basically that meant like I had to help predict how many sales we were going to have, you know, next month to next year. Mm-hmm. And they were making some very important business decisions on those predictions. I loved that piece of it, but the flexibility is just really what got to me, especially after having my daughter. And I was like, all right, what can I do? Like, I can't just go to corporate and be like, hey, I'd like to work half the hours
for the same pay.
I'd like to show up at 10 and maybe leave at 1, and then I'll come back and work a couple hours in the afternoon. They weren't having that. So, that's what like kind of sparked, all right, what else can I do at this point in time?
Nice. And so did you have kind of a moment where you realized like, oh, I should start my own thing, or did that kind of evolve over time?
And it was really funny. I had an opportunity to go work for a local small business. And then I remember sitting at the conference room again, like working for them, and it was really cool, but I was sitting at the conference table again, later than I wanted to be. It was well after 5 o'clock, and I'm gripping the table, like the cold granite, my hands are sweaty. I'm like, I'm missing dinner with my daughter again. And that was just kind of my moment that was like, you know what? I'm sitting here for a small business that's making a couple $1 million a year. Why not me? Like, I could see aspects of me and what they were doing and part of their personality and just how they approach things. I was like, if they can do this, then why not me? So that was kind of my moment that I could do it because they had, and you know, they're not perfect either. They didn't have it all figured out. They were making, you know, figuring things out as they went along the way. And I was like, I can do that too.
That's amazing. I love the phrase, why not me? Because I think a lot of what we come up against in these conversations is women who just feel like they never think I could do that. They just never have that moment. And so I love hearing that you kind of just had that little like spark of inspiration and you're like, wait a second, I am capable. I am worthy of this and I'm going to take the leap. So, okay, you were sitting at the conference table and you realized that you didn't want to do this anymore and you asked yourself, why not me? So what was the next thing? What did you decide to do after that?
So the next thing I did was I started having some conversations with people that I knew in the area that had started their own businesses. So I had one friend in particular, it was actually a former boss that had gone out and done his own thing. And so we just had lunch and he told me a little bit more about his journey. And from there I started, you know, Googling stuff at night after kids were asleep and just getting more curious and to the point where I was like, all right, well, if I want to be in business, I need a client. what would I need to do to find a client and what type of service would I offer that, you know, would be a win-win for both parties. So I could solve a major problem that I would be good at it and that they would get, you know, some really great results out of it. Yeah. And so for me, at the time, the natural choice was I was really big on inventory management and forecasting. So that's the kickoff that I went through. I started looking for small businesses that had products. And I found that in Shopify sellers, especially like when you already have a full-time job and you get to research things at 8 o'clock at night, that definitely impacted like who I was able to reach and, you know, interview questions, do some market research, did a lot of like coffee chats over Zoom at 8 p.m. I made a lot of Pacific friends, time zone friends, because it was still normal hours for them.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's how I started. And I found my first client from talking to someone on a podcast.
Nice.
And she was like, you know what? I actually had someone else on the podcast that had that exact problem that you say you solve. I'd love to connect you.
That's perfect. I love it.
And that was, and that ended up being my very first client. I had the sales conversation in my car at lunchtime. And yeah, it was like, and they, I just remember when she said yes, I had always heard the first client is the hardest. And I was like, I did it.
Yep.
That was the hardest part. All right, great.
Episode was sponsored by The Leap Accelerator, my new upcoming program for 2021, where I am working with 10 corporate women who want to leave their 9-to-5 and their grind and move into a coaching or consulting business model. The Leap Accelerator is designed to illuminate the process required for replacing your salary with the goal of being ready to leave your corporate job in 12 months. We'll train you on offer ideation, marketing, content creation, sales, and more. And during this process, we'll build your brand and your website design, and we'll launch it with our team, who will also be managing your social media content. This program is geared towards women currently making $200,000 to $500,000 in total compensation at a traditional corporate job, who are burned out, tired, or apathetic of your current career, and ready to leap into coaching and consulting in a business model that they're passionate about, and one that serves people in a deeper way. If you're interested in learning more about Leap, be sure to connect with me at thehigginscreative.com. And go to the little green button up on the top right hand corner that says inquire here. You can fill out a form and we'll get in touch with you about being a part of the program.
I love it. Do you mind asking what you closed that client for?
That was $3,300.
That's amazing. Right out the gate. I love it. That is so cool. Okay. So you got your first client, and then what was like, What did that open up for you in your kind of your mindset and your view and the opportunities in front of you? What did that do for you when you were like, yes, I got this client, like what's next?
Yeah. Well, I will tell you one of the things I also did, Lila, was I did hire a coach early on, cause I wasn't sure, like, what do I do when I don't know what I need to do?
Right.
And so I was so glad that she had prepped me. I told her I had this conversation coming up. She's like, okay, well, let's go ahead and get your welcome letter ready. Let's go ahead and get your proposal mocked up and invoice ready. I was like, oh, they're going to want to pay me like right then.
yes, they are.
So this was just some of the tidbits that I hadn't. So I felt really good about those pieces. And so those went off very seamlessly early on. And then, I will share, like, especially from a corporate background, I was much more in like the operations side of things, not so much on the, sales side of things, I would say. But when she said yes, I had intentionally stopped myself from like systemizing everything on the back end, which could have been a very fun place for me to hang out. Right. But I intentionally did it. I offered the service basically live, where it was several calls to get the information to work a lot more together, because I wanted to know if I was going to miss anything. I really valued a lot of conversation and connection early on, so that I could understand even what my process was. And so I would definitely highly encourage anyone else listening that don't map out everything, like have your framework, have your deliverables, but, make sure you're having, really strong communication. That doesn't mean you need to spend an hour every day with them, but have a strong system in place or model in place to where, it's very, client focused and they can get great feedback.
Yeah, that's really good advice, because a lot of people I talk to are thinking about leaping and they're like, but what do I offer and how do I map out my whole entire 6-month program? I'm like, no. You don't even know who you're working for yet or what their problems are, what their issues are. I've seen it often where you build the program with the first person that books with you. Yeah, and I still do that when I launch new programs. Like I need a kind of an alpha tester to run through it and tell me like, hey, this is a roadblock I see. Cause sometimes after 10 years of entrepreneurship, I don't even realize what the problems are. It totally gets like, it's easy to get stuck in wanting to map it all out and have the plan in place, but really staying flexible is the best thing for the client and for your program long-term.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
So did you start with services that are similar to what you're doing now with that first client, or had they kind of evolved from there?
They have evolved a little bit. So one thing, I started out working with these product-based businesses, often Shopify sellers, things like that. Mm-hmm. One, for one, it was easy for me to to connect with them, especially if I wanted to build an online business, then I needed to work with people that had online software mm-hmm. that was easy for me to tap into. Yeah. So that became a pretty big aha moment. But then I also found other people coming to me once I continued. One thing I will say too, I was very good at connecting with people in different Facebook groups or entrepreneurship type groups. I was one of those that was probably having coffee chats, like just little virtual chats with 3 people a week, mm-hmm. For quite a while. And those were the people that knew people that, they wanted to connect me with them.
Yeah.
So what I found though, through those connections was I had, this recurring ask come up like, oh, well, do you do more analytics? Do you, put together more dashboards or scorecards and things like that? I was like, well, yeah, I mean, that's an obvious part of inventory management, but it's also a part of your marketing metrics. And it's a part of your operational metrics, part of your financial, your profitability metrics.
Right.
So I had this like metrics thing keep coming up. And so that's where I started to speak a little bit more into that. Mm-hmm. And so now really we would focus on creating dashboards for entrepreneurs that want to scale. And so that does incorporate, you know, sometimes it's membership sites. You know, they're serving, you know, hundreds of customers on a regular basis. Sometimes it is Shopify sellers where, you know, they're online and we're still helping with the sales trends and things like that. But it has evolved to a little bit more broader online-based entrepreneurs that have a lot of data that they're churning through. Maybe not so much for like the solopreneur or the VA, but for people that have a lot, they have a lot to lose, honestly, right? They have a lot going on. They don't want people to have a bad client experience or customer experience, and they want to level up and make sure nothing's leaking out, nothing's falling through the cracks. Yeah. Those are typically a great fit for us.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love how that translates too from what you were doing in corporate. I see it a lot where people don't think that those skills are transferable, but they absolutely are.
You're oh my goodness. Yes. I mean, I literally remember thinking like, everyone knows how to do this. Why would they hire me to do this? Right.
Nobody knows.
It was shocking. So shocking. I mean, and you know what, like once in a blue moon, there is another, you know, number nerd, CEO out there, but I will say 95%, it was really surprising to me that they wanted to almost avoid numbers at all costs, or they might check on that number one time when they heard about it on a podcast, like, oh, I should check my Google Analytics. That sounds cool. Yep. And never came back to it.
Right. So, or you look at it and you're just like, this is jumble. I have no idea what I'm looking at.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Most people don't see data like I see it. Like I see a story when I look at it, I see trends. I see, hey, you know, unsubscribes are going the wrong direction, but I do see that your engagement is going up. I see better open rates and I see this trending, and the trends are what is really guiding you, telling you where your business is headed. And for me, that was just so clear, but for so many people, it really isn't.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. So from the moment you were grabbing hold of the boardroom table, how long was it between that and when like you got consistent in your income where you felt like you could leave, or did you leave right away? I guess I didn't ask that.
I did not leave right away. I did the quintessential side hustle for about a year. Okay. So I got my first client in September. And then it was the following August, which I had intended to leave a little bit earlier. However, we had Miracle Baby show up.
Those will happen.
We're delighted and decided to stick around, make sure everyone was healthy from that. So I stayed in my corporate role until she was delivered and everything. And then from there, I gave my notice. And at that time, I will say I had about 4 clients that had moved on to a retainer model. Uh-huh. So I had some income going in. It wasn't enough to, you know, completely make up for my 6-figure corporate salary, mm-hmm. but it was enough to where we could pay the bills and between me and my husband. And we also had set aside some extra savings knowing that I was going to be making this transition. And so we had a buffer, but it was also like, all right, here's your chance. Like, now's the time to go all in and get this thing ramped up so this can be your entrepreneur you know, journey here.
Yeah, that's awesome. Were there any blocks for you when it came to leaving? Like, I'm sure there was fear and imposter syndrome and all those things, but any advice for someone considering that and having those kind of thoughts go through their head?
Yeah. I mean, you know, the really funny thing was that I was really concerned for my boss's feelings.
No.
I was like, she's gonna have so much work to take on before this new person gets trained and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. So, and I did, I had a really good relationship with her. And so I did feel like I was kind of leaving her or letting her down in some way.
Yeah.
But I will say I was more excited of the potential of where I was going that's where I decided to anchor.
And did she take it well? I'm sure that she was professional.
She was very professional. She will say, like, she did say, well, I am surprised. Oh. I was not anticipating that. And at the time, I kind of felt like I had a little bit of out too, because I was like, I had just had a baby. I was like, you know what? I want to spend more time with her. I don't know. I kind of blamed it on the baby a little bit, but, but I was like, you know what? But at the same time, it really was true, because that's one of the reasons I wanted to go this route, was to have more flexibility so that now I could be with my 4-year-old and my newborn much more.
Yeah. I love it. So anything else that you would say to someone who is like kind of on the fence trying to decide between should I leave this steady job? Should I build something on my own? If you could give them like one piece of advice, what would it be?
I'd say when you think about where you want to be, you know, 2-3 years down the road, where's your heart pulling you towards? Mm-hmm. Is it pulling you towards, you know, the corporate role, or is it pulling you towards something that we didn't learn in school, something that we didn't learn in college, someone that, you know, maybe you had someone, an entrepreneur in your family, maybe you didn't. And so if that's the part that feels scary, like, just like you learn things through school, you can learn this too.
Yeah.
And you're actually going to learn it really fast, and you're going to be able to bring part of your corporate experience and give it a great spin in a space that, you know, you can only feel. And so just knowing that is true, because I definitely had my doubts going forward, but there's wins along the way. There's that first time you get your client to say yes. It's the first time you make a really great connection. Someone starts to refer you. It's these little wins along the way that if you make that your focus and you can see how these little breadcrumbs are leading you to what you really want for yourself, then that's where you want to keep your eyes.
That's awesome. So Lane, this has been so helpful. I wish we could talk for hours, because I just feel like there's so many little pockets of your story that would be helpful. But I'd love to hear, for the people listening, where can they find you, and what offers do you have for them right now that they'd be interested in, you know, kind of learning more about this or learning more just about being an entrepreneur in general?
Yeah, absolutely. You know what? I would highly encourage you to come check out our latest online event at scaling2021.com. What's great right now, we actually have an amazing 5-day event happening for women entrepreneurs, for those that want to, start, grow, or scale up their business. And so if you go to that link, you're going to hear from such a great variety of speakers on how to get clients, how to set up systems, how to, you know, be positioned for profitability early on versus hoping for it, which is another key distinction. These are some just great events that we're going to have coming up now. And then we're going to have some other events coming up later on in the year. So highly encourage you to check that out and just start gathering information, start finding out what resonates with you and take that first step.
Beautiful. My biz bestie Sam is a part of the summit this year, so you guys definitely have to check her out. She's the best. I love her.
Yes. Sam well, Munoz, shout out.
Yes. Lane, thanks so much for being on the podcast today. You guys check out her stuff at scaling2021.com, and you can sign up. It's a free summit, right?
Free event. Yep.
And it's all online, makes it super easy to do it from home, and there's recordings. You can go back and watch things if you miss them while you're at corporate. And yeah, that's all I have for you today. Thanks again, Lane.
Ciao. Great to be here.
I hope you guys got some inspiration from this interview and you
saw a peek into what might be possible for you and your career path. Now, if you're just like absolutely new to the entrepreneur world and you're not sure where to start, a really good place to start is to visit my website at thegginscreative.com/BFS. Stands for brand from scratch. And it starts with your values, because if we don't operate from our values, why are we doing what we're doing at all? It's going to walk you through your values and your positioning and how to talk about your brand. And then it's even going to go granularly into how to set up a basic website and have a brand that is visual as well as impactful in the storytelling. And if you're like, man, I don't want to figure it out by myself, I've done enough research, I've downloaded enough free things, I'm ready to dive in and I need the support, then definitely check out information about my Leap Accelerator starting March 1st, 2021, but ongoing throughout the year. You can jump in anytime. I'm working with 10 women who want to move from a corporate gig to something more purposeful and more flexible. If you want the freedom and you want to stop working for the man, I'm going to help you do it in 2021. Check it out at thehigginscreative.com/leap for more information, or email me at lila@thehigginscreative.com and we'll get you set up. I hope you guys have a good rest of your weekend, and I will see you Monday.